makers, right? We are walking in obedience to learn how to help others who are not the same as us. So I thank you so much for that. It was great. I couldn't believe how fast 5 hours went yesterday. Because truth be told, last Saturday I had a discipleship training and it was about, 6 hours. And it felt like 20. So I just couldn't believe how fast it went yesterday. It was really good. So anyway, and if you all like the chili, I would like you all to tell Sarah thank you for helping make that chili. Hey, Gary made the hot dogs. Hey, those were good too. Thank you, Brother Gary. And I don't know who made the cheese, but it was good. I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer and ask that he would be over today's lesson. Today's title is Draw Near to God. Draw near to God, right? So as we think about that, let's go to the Lord in prayer and have our hearts and our minds ask that God would draw us to him today. Dear God, our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, you're awesome. You're loving. You're all-powerful. You're all-knowing. You're everywhere. Thank you so much for your word, for the goodness of you, for your goodness, Lord. Lord God, we throw those words up to you, not because of a lip service, but we also have to remember that you're a God of just. You do have mercy and grace, but you are a just God, and you don't tolerate sin. You don't tolerate hogwash. God, I pray for this lesson. As we talk about drawing closer to you, God, that people would get something out of today's lesson. Lord, I just pray that the Holy Spirit would just take over and the people would hear the Holy Spirit talking and not me. I pray as we go through this, Lord, that if anybody has questions, that they write it down, or comments, that they write them down. Help us to be ironing, sharpening iron here. Help us to be growing in wisdom, not just to have wisdom, but to be able to go out into the community. Because we want to be united in the church to go out into the community and love the community to Christ. And Lord God, it takes drawing closer to you to do that. We cannot do this mission ourselves. And you promised that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And as Jesus ascended into the heavens, he said, I'm going to send a helper to help you to go into your community. So, Lord, as we talk about drawing closer to you, I pray that people will put tools in their toolbox that will help them go out into the community and share the gospel. Be mission-minded all the time. We don't just come to church Sunday after Sunday just because. Because, Lord, we want to grow in wisdom and in knowledge to be obedient to that command, go and make disciples. God, thank you so much for your word. And I just pray as we read it together that I will bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Well, I'll tell you what, it has been a crazy, crazy week. I'm looking forward to my day off tomorrow. So I can draw near to God tomorrow without having to worry about some responsibilities. If you guys look behind me, my bride made a wonderful slide of all the verses that we're going to be going through today. And yes, we're going to hit on every single one of those. So I hope you guys are ready. If you brought your seat belts, buckle up, because we're getting ready to go on a journey through God's Word. How many of you enjoyed so far the sermon series in the book of James? You all better raise your hand, every single one of you. Thank you. That makes me feel better. All right? And Fish, too, because, you know, he's helping go through the book of James, right? And we were just talking about it a little bit this morning. I thought we would have a 5-week sermon series on the book of James, and then we would be on to the next book. We started the book of James, I think, in the end of August, beginning of September, and here it is November. So, and we probably, I have to highlight this ahead of time. I'm so sorry to tell you guys, I'm not finishing chapter 4 today. I told you all that I would try to finish chapter 4 today, but as I started meditating and researching James chapter 4 some more, and I saw draw near to God, I just meditated on that, and I started chewing on that. And, well, you're going to hear what we have today. I'm going to do it this way. If everybody would turn in their Bibles, the ESV is 1013 the page. James chapter 4, I'm going to read the passage first, then we're going to go through this. James chapter 4, we're going to start off in verse 7. James 4, verse 7. And when you all are ready, you know my signal. Put your thumbs up. All right, we are ready to rock and roll. Here we go. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Ouch. Ouch was my first reaction when I read this. In my research and studies for this week, I came across a section in my commentary by John MacArthur, and he wrote about 10 commands that you would see in James 4, 7 through 10. Ten commands that you would see in James 4, 7 through 10. The first one, submit to God, verse 7. James used the word to describe a willing and conscious submission to God's authority as sovereign ruler of the universe. So we want to submit ourselves. It's a conscious submission to God's authority. Number two, this is part 7b, verse 7b. Resist the devil. Those who consciously take their stand against the Satan and transfer their allegiance to God, and Satan will run because he is a defeated foe already. Draw near to God, verse 8. Pursue an intimate love relationship with God with everything you got. 8b, cleanse your hands. Cleanse your hands, meaning the sinners and unbelievers need to confess their sins. Purify your hearts. This is also verse 8. Cleanse your inner thoughts, motives, and desires of the heart. So if you guys, Psalms 24, 3 through 4. Psalms 24, 3 through 4. I want to read this passage to you guys.
Psalms 24, 3 through 4. It better be.
Uh-oh. I threw one at you guys. I'm sorry. I didn't tell my wife. Apologize. 24, 3 through 4. Psalms 24, 3 through 4 says this. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. You have to come before the Lord with pure hearts and clean hands. You cannot be deceitful. Lament. Lament in verse 9. This means to be afflicted from sin, to be truly broken over sin. Matthew 5, 4. Then you mourn. Verse 9. The internal brokenness over sin. Psalm 51, 17. I've shared Psalm 51, 17, or 51 with you guys over and over and over. Keith Green sings about that. Created me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me, right? That's being broken over your sin. Then you weep. Verse 9. Outward manifestation of an inward sorrow over sin. Mark 14, 72. You want to be sorrowful over your bad things. We all do bad things. We are all sinners. Every single one of us is born into sin. There is not a single person who does good. We're all bad people. All of us. Every single one of us. Now, that's not fair. Well, that's just the way the cookie crumbled when Adam and Eve decided to take a bite of the fruit. Of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Right? Sin entered into the world immediately. Boom. Spiritual death. That's what happened. Because God promised, what? You shall surely die if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, we know that Adam lived to be like 999 years old or something like that, almost 1,000 years old. Pretty close, 990-something years old, right? So, we know that he didn't physically die right away, but he experienced a spiritual death, separation from God. And then God created the burnt offering, right? Because he clothed Adam and Eve, right? They had to be sorrowful. They had to have an outward expression of their sin. Grieve without laughter or joy. This describes the signs of denial, the flippant laughter of those who foolishly indulging in worldly pleasures without regard to God, life, death, and sin, judgment, or holiness. Foolishly indulging in the world. Then you humble yourself, meaning you make oneself low. Nehemiah was a perfect example, if you guys remember, of making oneself low, humbling himself. Fish brought out that little stool that he was going to try to sit on, but then he couldn't get up, remember? So that means... That's what Nehemiah, that was the best representation. I hope you guys never forget that. That he humbled himself, he stooped low, and he prayed for months before he went and talked to the king. Because he knew that he was coming before a holy God, a reverent, there's a reverence there you don't want to miss. We have to humble ourselves. We have to stop what we're doing. Have to stop sinning. You cannot continue to do the same sin over and over and over and expect that your relationship with God would be okay. We have to ask for forgiveness and then we have to turn from it. It's not a very nice picture to think about when I say these words, mourn and weep and lament. Right? It doesn't paint a very pretty picture. But in today's sermon, I hope to take you through these action steps that will help you to draw near to God. Your life depends on your relationship with God. Where you spend your eternity depends on your relationship with God. Today, we are going to discuss what it means to draw closer to God. So the first thing you want to do is submit yourself to God. James 4, 7. Resist the devil by not falling into temptation. Ephesians 4, 27. Hey, look at that. That's the first one on the slide. Ephesians 4, 27.
I'm going to start in verse 26, actually. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no
opportunity to the devil. Resist the devil. Resist him.
So, guys, unfortunately, we're wired a little bit differently than females, and when we see our wives, we get excited, right?
Well, there's a thing called pornography, too, right, guys? And some guys struggle with that, right? Give no opportunity to the devil in that department. So what should guys do? How do you resist the devil in that?
I wouldn't even have anything closely related to that. Lock down your phone. Lock down your computer. Have covenant eyes on every single thing that you have. Have an accountability partner. Right? Guys, we're not alone in this. We can resist the devil in that. Right? Gals, I'm going to pick on you guys, gals too. When you guys are tempted to go shopping and spend money on something that looks fancy and you think you might wear it and then you just let it sit in your closet. Resist that temptation to buy something that you don't need. For me, the other day, Daniel and I, we were going shopping for turkey. And I got into the meat department. And I started looking at all the meat that I wanted to smoke, right? And I hadn't gotten paid yet, so I couldn't. And I told Daniel, I was like, we got to go. And Daniel was like, man, Dad, you checked out awfully fast. He's like, I thought I'd for sure see you over in the meat department. And I said, buddy, I had to leave because I was tempted to buy up a bunch of meat that I didn't, couldn't afford right at that moment. You got to resist the devil in every opportunity. Does that mean we're going to pass every time? No. We're going to fall into temptation. We're going to do bad things. We're going to continue to sin because why? We're sinners. Man, Pastor Aaron, that's not nice. Well, it's in God's word. It's not me saying that. It's in God's word that we're all sinners, every single one of us. But as we draw closer to God, check this out. As we draw closer to God and our relationship with God grows, the easier it is to walk away from temptation. Isn't that a beautiful thing? I think that's great. As we work on our relationship with God, the easier it is to walk away from falling into sin. The devil wants to take you down. He wants you to fall into sin. He wants you to fail. The devil wants you to fail. If you're not drawing closer to God, then you're planning to fail. And if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. That was something that the military instilled in me. And I say it to my kids, and I say it to my wife, and I say it to a lot of people. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So you're out on a convoy. You have to have a plan A, a plan B, a plan C, and a plan D. Why four plans? Because you might get bombed in a convoy. So then you got to figure out what you're going to do while your emotions and everything else is going haywire, right? Or you might leave a little bit earlier because you know that the enemy is going to know it's your time. They've been watching your pattern. The army does not allow you to be creatures of habit. They make you change times of purpose. Because the enemy was lurking, and he wanted us to fail. They wanted us to fail. They wanted to blow us up. Satan wants to blow up your life. He wants you to fail. He wants you to fall into sin. He does not want you to be a good witness to God, for God. He wants you to be in pain. Satan wants you to be in pain. He is wandering around like a roaring lion, seeking to devour any sheep that he can take out. He doesn't want you to be a good witness. The Bible says that Christians are to be firm in their faith. 1 Peter 5:9 says, resist the devil. Ephesians 4, Yeah, Ephesians 4:27, 1 Peter 5:9, both say resist the devil and he will flee. Draw near to God, James 4:8. I want you guys to write these steps down. These are going to be really good. Here are 7 steps that you can practice and take to draw near to God. The first one, John 14:6. Jesus is the only way to God. This is the first step in drawing closer to God, by putting your faith in Jesus. Acts 16:31 says, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. So the very first step, Jesus came to make it easy. He died on the cross. He died on the cross to save us from our sins, to save us from the bad things that we do. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So he came so that the first step is we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask for forgiveness of those sins. And that's the first step in drawing near to God, by putting our faith in Jesus. The second step, ready? The second step is to study the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16, understand that the scripture is used for teaching, reproof, and is breathed out by God. I actually want to go there. Brother Aaron loves this scripture, and so do I. 2 Timothy 3:16. Page 996 in your ESV Bible. Aaron, I don't know what it is in your Bible. I apologize, buddy. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped in every good work. So the second step, after we admit our sins and we repent and we start following Christ, the second step is we start studying the Word of God immediately. Making it a priority to study the Bible daily. The third step is to pray. The third step is to pray. Jesus taught us how to pray. Jesus taught us how to pray. In Matthew 6, page 811 in the ESV Bibles. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this. And if you know it, you can say it. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Jesus taught us how to pray. He modeled it for us. So you put your your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you start reading Scripture right away because it helps you learn, it teaches you, it corrects your thinking, right? And then you work on your prayer life. And you can model it. If you don't know how to pray, you can model it like that for a while until you get used to praying, right? Forgive us. Help us to forgive those who've done wrong against us, right? That's a good thing to ask for. Help us to forgive others. The fourth step is to worship and praise Him. Worship and praise God. Psalms 100, verses 4 and 5. Psalms 100, verses 4 and 5. Says this. And after I read this, you guys might hear the tune that I'm thinking of when I was a kid. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. That's page 501 in your ESV Bible, by the way. You guys kind of remember a song like that back in the day? It was really a catchy song. I love to sing it. I'm not going to sing it for you. I'll leave it to the singers. But when I read that, God wants us to sing praises to Him. So when Brother Gary goes hunting in the woods and he's trying to fill his freezer with good meat, he hopes he would anyway, he can sing praises to God. And it doesn't even have to be out loud. You can sing praises to God in your head, right? I talk to a lot of my pastor friends, and they always say they have hymnals stuck in their head that are like auto-tune for them, right? It's like a record. But when they feel down, a song will come, and they can sing that to God, right? Because God wants us to praise Him. He wants to hear us. King David understood that. That's why he wrote a lot of the Psalms. He wrote songs even when he was having spears thrown at him by the king. It's crazy. But what was David known as? A man after God's own heart, right? There's a couple of guys that kind of have a title like that. Abraham was known as a friend of God. King David was known as a man after God's own heart. What are you known as for God? What are you known as? Are you a friend of God? Or are you an enemy of God? Are you a lover of God? Or are you a shoebox God? You know, do you just take him out of the shoebox when you need something? We have people like that. The skit guys, they talk about it, you know. You don't want to put God in a shoebox. It's not where He belongs. He belongs first and foremost in your life. Psalms 98, 5 through 6 kind of echoes Psalms 100. Page 500 in your Bible. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre, and with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. The King, the Lord. Make a joyful noise. So when I play the trumpet and I sound like a dying seagull, it makes a joyful noise to the Lord, okay? Just thought I'd let you guys know that. So what step was that? The fourth step? So now we're on the fifth step, right? The fifth step is to trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? I think that's right. Hold on. You got to trust in the Lord. Aaron, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Boom. There it is. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That's where I was going with that one. That's the fifth step. You got to trust in the Lord. Got to trust in the Lord that he's going to make our path straight. See, remember in James 1, I got to go back there, guys. James 1, we talked about this, and I want you guys to understand this. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test and will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. He makes our path straight. He helps us to resist the devil. We have to submit to his authority. We have to submit to his authority. Right? We have to trust in the Lord and lean in on our own understanding. I don't know if any of you have ever battled something that you try to quit. But it takes trusting and praying and reading and practicing to get over something. You cannot get over it by yourself. We are not that powerful. We're not powerful at all. It's Christ in us that helps us. Trust in the Lord. The sixth step is to have faith. Have faith. Have faith. Philippians 3, 1 through 11. Philippians 3, 1 through 11. I'm ahead of schedule. Philippians 3, 1 through 11. But I'm going to start in verse 3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you are partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with my affection of Jesus Christ. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, so to be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory of God, and to the glory and praise of God. Paul is writing a letter to the Philippians, and he is thanking them for their steadfast love. And he's like, I can tell you, about the gospel. You're affirmed in the gospel, the good news, right? And you're helping me with that. You're growing in knowledge. And what did he say? He ended that little part with praise to God, right? So there you go, praise God, right? He put his faith in God. Put your faith in God. The seventh step is drawing closer to God, and drawing closer to God is to get involved in serving in your community. Acts 2, 42 through 47, they came together, they prayed together, they broke bread together, they listened to the apostles' teaching, And then what? They shared everything good, and people were being saved by the thousands in Acts 2, 42 through 47. See, we are to be in the community. We don't just come to church once a week to check a box. I say this over and over. I talk to my elders a lot, and some of them don't like the organization of things, right? Because they're more about discipleship and relationship. Folks, that's what we should be about. What's up, Miss Becky? You're lost. You're found. Brother Fish. Did I read the wrong passage? Oh, guys. I think I read the wrong passage. Well, that's what I get for adding too many passages. Too much meat. I did. I read the wrong passage. Okay. I'm not going to read it again. Oh. All right. Continue on. The seventh step is drawing closer to God and getting involved and serving in your community. Acts 2, 42 through 47. Let me go back over the steps real quick. I'm going to go in order. So the first step in drawing closer to God is you put your faith in Jesus Christ. The second step is study God's word. Meditate on it. The third step is to pray. The fourth step is to worship and praise Him. The fifth step is to trust in the Lord. The sixth step is to have faith. The seventh step is drawing closer to God is getting involved in your community. All these action steps will help you draw closer to God. And as you draw closer to God, the more and more you want to be out in the community, and you'll want to be doing things for the community and fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Christianity is not selfish about being selfish. Christianity is not about just coming and sitting here and that's it. Christianity is, hey, I see a brother and sister. As a matter of fact, I wanted to point this out. James 2:14. What is good, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace and be warmed and filled without giving them the things needed for the body, what is good is that? What good is that? So also faith by itself, if does not have works, is dead. You cannot get to heaven by good works. We are not a works-based religion. There are work-based religions out there. They will tell you have to break every bone in your body, working and laboring to get to heaven. Jesus said what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So it does not matter how much barbecue I barbecue to hand out to the community, right, without my faith. But if I have faith and I'm not reaching my community, then what good is my faith? Draw closer to God, and all that will kind of work itself out. Right? I wanted to point that out to you because I see so many Christians that just check the box. Sunday, Wednesday, Tuesday, and that's it. That's it. And I'm not talking about folks here. I've seen it in other churches. I'm trying to get teenagers to understand what it means to have faith in Christ. Rather than having an earpiece in. I want them to have a relationship with Jesus. And then I want them to practice it by serving. That's what Aaron wants the youth for tonight when Brianna's Hope. He said, we've been talking about, you know, faith and Christ. Now, here's the reality. There may be some of you here who are not really Christians. Only God knows. I can't judge that. But there is a statistic out there, and I'm not going to quote it right now because I don't know it off the top of my head, but I know there's a statistic out there that talks about the lost in churches. Aaron wants to teach the youth about missions. And he wants to teach them about serving. So he wanted to go and prepare a whole meal, have the youth prepare a meal or help prepare a meal, and then serve it to Brianna's Hope. People who are struggling, right, with addictions. And he wants to reach them and start building a relationship with them. And he wants the youth to learn how to build a relationship with somebody so they can start sharing their faith with them. That's drawing closer to God. When we draw closer to God, we should want to make sure that everybody is taken care of. Not enable them. There's a difference between enabling and helping. And I've had conversations with other brothers about this. Right? Seeing somebody hold a sign asking for money. You might give them money, and you just enabled them to go get alcohol. Right? But what would it be if, I've done this in past, grabbing a couple hamburgers and going and saying hi to that person. Doesn't have to be a very long conversation. But how about this? As you're drawing closer to God, let the Holy Spirit lead, guide, and direct you in what you should do. Because he does that. Hey, you should go talk to that person. What? Yeah, go talk to that person. But Lord, I don't want to go talk to that person. They scare me. They got a long beard and tattoos. I only point that out because some people have said that about other people. Right? Or they don't look like me. They don't dress like me. But I don't want to go talk to that person because they have body odor that reeks to high heaven. You should go give them a hamburger. As you're drawing closer to God, you'll be obedient. And you'll go. You won't even think about it. If you're prayed up, if you're read up on the scriptures, and you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you will walk in obedience no matter what. Michelle Gruber, she's going over to a closed access country to share the gospel with people. She is packing her bags and she's going. A.B. Simpson wanted to go to China. He wanted to go on missions. He wanted to get out of the pastorate, right? He was in the Presbyterian church. And he was, they loved him as a preacher. I mean, he drew crowds like you wouldn't believe. He took a Presbyterian church in Louisville, Kentucky, and he went from 200 to 700 in 3 months. I've been here almost a year. Huh. That's another story. They loved him. But A.B. Simpson wanted to be faithful to God. He was drawing closer to God, and he said, I want to go to the Congo. I want to go to China. And as a matter of fact, he said to his wife, hey, I feel called to go to China. And she said, okay, you can go ahead and go to China, but I'm staying here. You go ahead and go, you know, be off in the mission field, but I'm staying here. So A.B. Simpson knew that he was not supposed to go to China. But what he did do, he went from Canada to Louisville, Kentucky, to the streets of New York. And he started a church in Times Square, by the way. And this was in the middle of New York City. And it became a booming city. And that's where he left the Presbyterian church. Because they got into an argument. He didn't agree with them. So he left the church and he went down to the docks. I started preaching to the Irish and all the sailors. And they, believe me, they cussed like sailors, drank like sailors, and did everything else, you know, that they do over there. But he was leading them to Christ like you wouldn't believe. And he started meeting with people, and they started another church, right? And then this is kind of how the alliance came, because he started talking with other churches, and they formed an alliance, right? And he said, I do not want to start a denomination. I just want to start mission-minded people to share the gospel with those who are lost. That was his focus. And as he drew nearer to God, that's what he wanted, right? He did not want to start a denomination. The alliance did not become a denomination until 1970, almost 100 years after they formed. And it was A.B. Simpson died in 1919. And they were kind of pushed into starting a denomination. But if you look around all of the posters around this church building that Bridget, my secretary, hung up, it says, be present. Go and make disciples. Be mission-minded, right? Draw closer to God. Pray. Read your Bible. Ask for forgiveness of your sins. This is what it means to have a real relationship with God. Draw closer to God. Now you guys understand why I couldn't finish chapter 4, because all that was in verses 7 through 10. If it doesn't excite you to be a Christian, then I beg you to look at your walk with Christ and examine your hearts. Examine your minds, examine your souls. Maybe you struggle with some of these steps. Maybe you're struggling with reading your Bible. There's apps. The YouVersion app is one of them. The Bible app is another one. There are devotionals you can have that will help you start reading your Bible. You read a passage and then it talks about it a little bit. Maybe you struggle with your prayer life. I would encourage you to start with 10 minutes. Just 10 minutes a day. I know this doesn't sound corny, but set a timer for 10 minutes and pray for 10 minutes. Eventually, you won't need the timer, and you'll be able to go 5 hours and not even seem like 5 hours. As you draw closer to God. Today, as believers, we come together and we're going to observe the Lord's Supper. This is another act of drawing closer to God. By remembering what Jesus said the night that he was betrayed to give his life for ours. When you think about what Jesus did, we should cry and grieve over our sins. But not to stay there, but to ask God to forgive those sins. We know that our joy comes from the Lord. And if you're ready to take communion, you can come and receive the elements after the scripture reading. So, my elders, make sure you guys get ready. Come up here and help pass out the elements. We'll do it like we've always done in the past. There you go, Miss Becky. We're going to do it like we've always done in the past. Right? Always done in the past. But this is an act of worship. Really, it's an act of worship when we come and take the Lord's element. And as we draw closer to God, we should not be afraid of the Lord's Supper. We should worship and praise him through it. 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 29. 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 29. For I have received from the Lord what I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever, therefore, eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself, then so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. So before I have you guys come up, I'm going to give you guys just a couple minutes, like 2 or 3 minutes, absolute silence. I'm going to ask you to examine your heart and your mind